It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. In our Zetter studio, we have Cynthia Hasswinter. Cynthia, good morning.
Hello.
And hopefully on the line, we have Janet Manco. Janet, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Getting ready for the big rig, huh?
Oh, you know, I'm not on the Housatonic Child Care Center board at this moment, so all those wonderful people there are doing all the hard work to make it happen. But yes, everybody should be getting ready for the big rig.
And maybe it'll stop raining.
It's so fun. Even in the rain, it's fun because now they have it at the Child Care Center on Salmon Kill Road in Salisbury. And
there's lots of asphalt, and you don't get mud.
Yeah, they don't have to be on the dirt. They can be on the asphalt, and it's a lot of fun. Kids get to climb all over all kinds of big vehicles, and there's vendors, and there's food by the Lakeville Host Company. It's great.
All right. Well,
and if I can just jump in a little bit on the prior discussion about restless legs, one of our local recently deceased lovable persons, Bob Yoakum, was a big expert on RLS and had it. And there's all different things that can make your legs twitch at night, but there is specifically restless leg syndrome is a brain syndrome that's connected to Parkinson's disease. So it's a different, it is a legit thing.
All right. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what the
the
human eye can do strange things. I looked at the paper first time last night. I said, huh? Bananas? It holds your banners high.
Please don't send a letter.
No, you didn't do it. It's me. Yeah. I just looked at it and thought, oh, hold your bananas high. What's that? But then I saw the flags and I realized.
We'll do the bananas next week.
Yeah. bananas are really great for leg cramps.
Legs.
That's
right. All right. Anyways, nice pictures of the sunny skies. What a Memorial Day weekend. Remember when we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the daytimes were perfect. I can't remember when there were 4 days like that.
Right. And immediately started. I don't know why I thought, oh, good, it's finally stopped raining because it's raining again every day. Can't believe where's all this rain coming from? But I just kept saying to people, I don't care what happens for the rest of the week as long as it's sunny for 3 hours on Monday morning because we have a beautiful issue thanks to the beautiful weather.
All right. What's the federal farm bill?
The federal farm bill is an article written by Janice Stiller, who, of course, is the farm director at Camp Isabella Friedman in Falls Village, and she's a wonderful writer. And we get a lot of emails from the federal government about the farm bill, and they all seem to be sort of helpful. And I said to her, is it possible that the government is actually helping? And she said, yes. So this article details some of the different ways that the farm bill and the federal government actually are supporting farmers, including young farmers and small farmers. So a very interesting read. And of course, farming continues to be important to us here in the Northwest Corner. So everybody should read this article.
All right. Nice story and action picture in color. FFA nurtures student interests.
And of course, we don't normally think of plasma cutting as an FFA agriculture kind of activity, but there it was at the Agriculture Education Open House at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Cordelia Schiller went, took a lot of wonderful photos, and I think as a kid who grew up in this area but didn't go to Housatonic, it was very interesting to her to see the range of all the different kind of things that these young people are learning. It's definitely not just going to school to learn
agribusiness is now what it is.
Huge.
All sections of agriculture. It's
forestry.
Agribusiness.
It's a lot of it
it's
was
really amazing.
Floral work. There was somebody making corsages. It's a very impressive program.
Now, I was really amazed and impressed with the next story out of Armenia, and that is koi and popular. That is an amazing story for a local story.
It's incredible. And when you go and you watch it, you can't believe the size and scope of this operation. And so we've written before about Maxine Pedro, who's just this lovely, nice person and a great writer. She's one of James Patterson's writing partners and has written many books with him without her name on the cover, but many, many books with her name on the cover. And she has a house in Armenia called Broccoli Hall. It's right near the center of town. And she's been generous enough to open it up for many garden tours. But what's really interesting is she really loves koi fish, which are the sort of Japanese fish from, beautiful. They're like giant, like an extraordinarily big, beautiful goldfish, and very peaceful and beautiful. And there's this one rare type of koi that is very hard to it's very rare. And so she's trying to figure out a way to breed it. And so Deb Alexinas, who's also a koi fan, did a really interesting story explaining this process in detail.
All right, right under that, and this a second break in at the Apple Computer Store. I'm like, well, here's a local store owned by a local husband and wife. They work for years. They get recognized by Apple. They're a certified store that we have out here, and a store that can fix it. You don't have to go to a Genius Bar in Hartford or anything like that.
And so much better, I would have to say, any other Apple store I've ever been to.
Not even close. And you know what? Somebody's broken into them twice. This is just plain ridiculous.
And what's really interesting, and you definitely have to read the article, is how much, paltry their haul was based on what they learned from the first break-in.
Right, because
and I think that's just pretty cool.
That's the best part is that, if anything, Dave Mafucci is super smart and wily. And so he got broken into, and he was part of a whole – like, people break into these Apple stores all the time, and they have a very particular way that they do it. And so he – after his store got broken into, and who would think somebody would come all the way to Little Lakeville to break into a tiny little shop? But they did, and they took a lot of stuff last time. And it's upsetting. And so a year later, the first one was right in July 4th weekend. This is Memorial Day weekend. And these guys had learned also that David has security cameras all around and alarms. And so they'd figured out a way to enter the property without their car showing up on the tapes. But of course, there are tapes of them inside the store. But David learned all these things in the process of recovering from the last theft and managed to really make the store feel safe without making it feel like when you walk in, you don't realize all the different security measures there are. So it's great.
All right. We move on to forgotten but essential World War II moment, subject of a book.
We forget that Tom Shachtman is really like the thing. He's a great writer and really respected historian, and his books are fun and interesting. And we just think of him as like, oh, that's that nice Tom Shachtman. But very fascinating guy, very respected. And he's got a new book about what's called the Phony War. Just before the actual start of military action in World War II, and he describes it fascinatingly, and Patrick Sullivan captures what he said really interestingly.
All right, and Bernie drew on the history, basically, of the Sharon Playhouse.
Right, Guernsey LePelletier, an interesting guy who was a cartoonist but also a playwright. It's the 60th anniversary year of Sharon Playhouse, and all sorts of interesting activities going on, and do keep an eye out in the paper for their ads with their schedules.
All right, we'll move to the inside of the paper. Lots of color in this issue for Memorial Day, basically after Memorial Day.
Yeah, I want to quickly note the bear watch because there was a bear in Burlington, which is just east of Torrington, that attacked and killed a dog in somebody's yard and remained in the yard and was aggressive enough with the police that they had to what they call euthanize it.
Shot it. Yeah, I'm not for. What goes on? I think that bear hunting probably will come back into vogue, even though I hate killing of any animals. Relocation doesn't work. Tagging them doesn't work. But also, people have to learn that we now have bears that so populous. There's less food for them. They'll go after small dogs. They'll go after deer.
They'll go after other bears.
Yeah, they'll go after other bears. It's just the way it is. And you have to try to keep your house as bear-free as possible by keeping things that attract bears away.
Yeah, it's kind of like when there's a problem with the traffic situation and people go to the state government and they say, well, nobody's died yet. And then people say, do we have to wait for somebody to die before we do something about this? So it's getting to that point where the bears are really starting to be a problem.
All right, we move on. Kent, once again, lots of colors. Meat, baked goods, and veg at Kent Market also.
It's interesting. In Kent, you can sort of see that as the veteran, it feels like the World War II veterans are hanging in there. But you can see the little kids in all of these stories are all these people who are very young when I first started covering Memorial Day parades, and they're all growing up beautifully too.
I'm hoping to turn swords into plowshares.
Yep, and Kent Farmers Market Fridays 3 to 6.
Move on to Salisbury. And Sharon has a beautiful parade, and they go down, and they get, but there's something about the Salisbury parade, the way that everybody marches out to the cemetery and then marches back into town.
Yeah.
Not only the parade people, but people who watch the parade that make it a truly special occasion. And it was so nice to see Bullitt Sherwood honored at that service.
And it's true, all of the services here are beautiful and small and intimate. And very New England and very old-fashioned. But there's something about the Salisbury one. Everybody says it. And I think partly because they come back to the White Hart and everybody gets ice cream and it's a big celebration. And, of course, in Cornwall they have a carnival, which is notable too. But, you know, they're all beautiful, but Salisbury is the one I hear the most about. So a beautiful day. And yes, Bullitt Sherwood, who really is so much a part of the fabric of life in Salisbury. It's hard to imagine the town without him, but has been very unwell. And they gave him an honor for his service at the parade. And apparently his car was – Patrick wanted to get a photo of him. The car was so surrounded by people trying to shake his hand that he couldn't get close to it.
The Pope property, uses being weighed.
Yes, one of the sub-themes of this week's issue is we spend a lot of time thinking about things. And the Pope property is a property that's been discussed for many, many years now. 95 acres in Salisbury, and thinking about what are the best ways to use it, and what a wonderful problem for a town to have.
And it's a small story, but it's a big story. A zoning change will allow multifamily housing. And that zoning change, once it's all completed, will affect that piece of property on Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, because they're trying to set zoning regulations that it aren't just spot zoning,
right?
Where that eyesore can be turned into possibly multifamily housing.
So you're talking about the Chinese restaurant,
yeah?
Yeah, which has been problematic, and it seems to, again, one of the things I hear the most about from people is how annoyed they are by that property, which is really becoming blighted. And somebody had an interest, expressed an interest in purchasing it and turning it into affordable apartments. And people don't necessarily realize there's a lot of apartments in Lakeville, and seems to be a good spot for it. So we'll hope that that works out.
All right. In Cornwall, remembering to live in the present. And something about when you, it's nice to see the color pictures, but also the black and white pictures are also,
right,
to me, very expressive. Yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, Cornwall, the only town I think that had a calf that was not being carted on a truck, but that actually walked the whole parade route with Chris Hopkins, who recently retired from the Stonewall Dairy Farm. And Richard Sears, a wonderful, interesting guy, always very active in the Housatonic Valley Association. He was the speaker this year.
And the sewers got a public hearing in West Cornwall.
Once again, a topic that we are not rushing into. So septic is very important in West Cornwall, which is a very small town. It's a village. It's right on the river. But it's also sort of the business center of Cornwall, one of the two, I think. So having an improved sewer and septic system would make a big difference to the businesses that are there.
All right. And the walking track is complete in Sharon. I'll tell you what, in Sharon Valley, they probably have the nicest, and I mean nicest, community field, a regulation-sized, fenced-in baseball field with major league dimensions, a perfect little league field, an incredible
size. In other words, just in case people didn't get that, two baseball fields. Yeah.
An incredible legal regulation soccer field. They now
tennis
have
courts.
Tennis courts, bathrooms.
Basketball
courts. Everything. And now they have this terrific walking path that goes around it, completed.
And so people should pick up, if they can find it still on the newsstand or come by our office, the Towns and Villages special supplement that we came out with a couple weeks ago, because we interviewed the rec directors. And Matt Meddy is, I think, is the longest-serving rec director in the area. And what he said when I interviewed him was he started out just as a parent in the area, and so he would go out to the ball fields and nobody would mowed it, so he'd mowed it, and nobody was taking care of the basketball court. And so eventually they hired him, and he's done an incredible job, and I'm not sure that people realize it. I think local people are the ones who really use those fields out in the Sharon Valley, but there's a lot going on there. And, of course, he recently had a beautiful new bathroom built because everybody wants that. And he takes beautiful care of it. And the walking track thing was Sharon has a very successful program at the Hotchkiss School where people are allowed to use the indoor walking track in winter. And he knew that program was very, very popular. And so he raised funds and got the work done and got people to make donations. And they built this beautiful walking track. I think it's a mile and a half now.
You know, after Fred Amerigi passed away, those fields did, because Fred used to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And Matt Meddy just picked it up and has done a great job. So
right.
That's nice. And a nice coverage on the Sharon Parade and also service at the War Memorial in Sharon.
Right. Again, one of the really most beautiful. I mean, I used to live in Sharon. To me, that's one of the most beautiful parades. Really a wonderful old-fashioned feeling to it.
And the great thing about the memorial there is you didn't have to die in order to get your name on the wall. If you served,
right,
and you were a Sharon resident, no matter what war you served in, your name goes up there. That's something special about that.
Yes.
All right, we move on to the Falls Village Parade and then the Science Fair.
Right. The science fair is always fun. And Patrick went over there, and he interviewed this one girl, and she was talking about the still that she built. And I was like, is she making home brew or something? But actually what she's doing is something very important to hikers, is she's figured out a way to purify water. And the hiking season started. It feels like the hiking season started early. There's a lot of Appalachian Trail hikers already coming through. So either that means that the hikers are early or that we are late getting our summer interns in.
And I saw the video that was posted on Facebook, the 92nd Falls Village Parade. But this is what makes our area special. No matter how small the town, the parades are done, and they're just really, and they lead up to services.
So. Right. And I have to say, you know, not to like pat ourselves on the back, but we try to make sure that every town gets the exact same amount of space, no matter how big or so small. And it's tempting to just fill the whole paper with Salisbury pictures, but every one of these parades is beautiful. And we'll have more pictures up on Facebook of some of these extra shots.
All right. North Canaan, once again, coverage of the parade, the life lost in Korea, and a place for trees.
So, you know, this is a year when we're losing a lot of that last generation of World War II veterans and just losing a lot of people who are important to our communities and are beloved. And Nick Gandolfo is really hanging in, and thank goodness for people like him who still do so much and is very active in the Memorial Day service. They remembered two recently passed away World War II veterans, Champ Nagel and Izzy Ted Yellow. But Nick Gandolfo talked about a kid he grew up with in North Canaan, and they both were shipped off to Korea. They didn't know that they were both there, and Nick was able to come back and live a long and very productive life, and this other young man lost his life 3 months after arriving in Korea. So there's a new bench in his honor next to the Doughboy.
Now, we got a story on the Trans Am being back, and to me, as growing up, I used to love going to the Trans Am races and seeing international drivers compete. Paul Newman, Peter Revson, Tillis, they all used to have AMC, GM, they all fought, and it's back. And it's back with a more historical take at Lime Rock Park, really.
A friend of mine was in from out of town, and so we went down to the track, and he kept saying, I want to see the Trans Am with the eagle on the hood. I was like, I'm not sure that they make those anymore. But so Lance Christensen, who's this fantastic photographer and loves to go to the track. Lance is full of surprises, and he wrote up this article for me, and I was amazed at how much he knows about Trans Ams and how exciting he made it sound. So it was, I think, 3 days of racing and then the Royals Car Show on Sunday, which we also went to, which was lots and lots of fun. And, you know, really, Lime Rock is making an effort to get people to come into the park and see what's going on. The Royals is always a big activity. And you can actually go on the Lime Rock website and see who won the Skip Barber Trophy.
The nice thing about there was one car there that had my favorite on it. It was Godzilla,
right.
And it was a promotion for the new movie. I just think that was great.
Yeah, we got a photo of that. I'll see if Alex can put that up on Facebook.
If you've got that, please send me. I'd love that. I'm just a big – Godzilla is number one with me.
And there was also a guy whose last name is Berkeley, Jason Berkeley, who's from Falls Village. And then the guy who I think was the winner was named Chris Dyson, and he's from nearby New York State.
Yeah, Rob Dyson's son. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And had a bad crash just a few weeks before the race and wasn't sure if he could make it, but did phenomenally well.
All right, we'll go on to the opinion page. Pay attention to the municipal budgets.
Well, that's right. You may feel as if it's gone by you if you haven't been paying attention, but, you know, every year we hear about this from people when it comes to that last vote at public meeting or even the referendum for Region 1, people sort of wake up and say, wait a minute, what's been going on? We do cover it all throughout the season, all the preliminary hearings and meetings, and it's really an important part of what happens around here when it comes to understanding priorities for our towns and the tax base. So keep an eye on it. If you have missed what's been going on in your town, if you don't find it in this week's paper, look back on the website and you will, or you go to the library and look at the previous papers in May and you'll find all the information you need. But do keep track of it.
And once again, turning back to pages, I love it because you always find a name like Richard Kircher, who I loved. He was a good friend of the family. The news story has been a Chrysler Plymouth salesman at the Litchfield Garage has entered the employ of the Winstead Motor Sales Company. That was from 50 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it is amazing. Well, and I think you have this experience too, Marshall, where you'll look at something and say, wait a minute, that was 25 years ago, or that was 50 years ago. I knew those people.
That
it's great to see these, and we're so glad that Norma Galais collects them for us. She knows so many of the families and the businesses in the area, and she keeps track of what is interesting in each edition for us.
All right, lots of, once again, letters and also viewpoint articles again.
Right. We have a real range of letters, so do read every one of them. Vaccination, affordable housing, church, thanks for the Region 1 art show at Standard Space, which is so great that all these Region 1 art teachers got together to say thank you. Read their names, be aware of who they are. They're a big part of what makes school fun for our kids in the community. And we have two opinion pieces on abortion, one on the border wall, and one on coffee. So something for everybody.
All right. And we'll move on to the Compass. Ann's not here. So, Biff, the Berkshire International Film Festival.
There's a second commercial, and I was like, I didn't even know there was a film festival in the Berkshires. He said, it's been going on for 15 years.
Long time. 14th season. Really amazing. Yeah.
And apparently one of the really good ones, because they've got another thing I didn't know. Martin Scorsese has roots in the Berkshires. I had no idea. His wife is from here. Apparently he's been a longtime visitor. So he's being honored this year at the festival. They're showing his films at the Mahewi. And there's also the Pauline Kael documentary, and apparently she watched a lot of her movies at the Mahewi up here. So stuff going on. And Alex Wilburn interviewed one of the directors who had worked with the BIFF founder and artistic director Kelly Vickery about why this intimate little festival is so wonderful, and the website is there so that you can go and see what's happening. It ends June 2nd, so don't delay. And then Alex also reviewed Roxana Robinson's new book, Dawson's Fall. And Roxana is a very prolific, very respected writer from the area. She's, of course, a New York person, but also a Cornwall person. And she will be speaking at the White Hart next week on June 5th.
And don't miss it on page A16. Peter Steiner's paintings are on display. And as a matter of fact, on Saturday, there's a Meet the Artist thing from 4 to 6. But one of his pictures is featured, the front window. So I don't want people to miss that.
Right. Peter is so amazing and is so talented in so many ways and is a wonderful writer and has a new book coming out in September, which I'm very happy about. Also famous New Yorker cartoonist, did one of the most iconic New Yorker cartoons in its history, and but also a very good painter, and considers himself, I think, above all, a painter.
All right.
We're very fortunate to have him do cartoons for the Lakeville Journal. But
absolutely.
That painting is beautiful.
Absolutely. If it's beautiful reproduced in the paper, just imagine what it's like when it's
in person.
Right.
There's no replacing that. And in the last 40 or 50 seconds left.
Well, there's two interesting art shows going on right now that are sort of local, which is the Re-Institute in Boston Corners Road, which is basically Millerton, but it's not Millerton. But Stacey Carr, who's a local artist, really lovely person, has her work up there along with some other artists, Kingsley Parker and Kate Hamilton. But Theo Colombe over at Standard Space, which was the nice host of the Region 1 Elementary School Art Show, has work by Matt McGee right now. And Matt is very talented, very interesting artist. When I win the lottery, I'm buying a bunch of Matt McGee. So definitely that's a gallery open on weekends, 12 to 6.
And don't forget, Tri-Corner Real Estate.
Always fun to look at. Always fascinating to see what's in there. Of course, the Pink House is still in there in Cornwall, West Cornwall. And all sorts of stuff that you go like, oh, where's that? That's interesting. So definitely worth looking through.
And if you live in Lakeville, don't miss the Aquarian Water Company ad on page A7. They're improving water mains in Lakeville, and there are all kinds of dates there you should be aware of.
All right. And I have well water in Salisbury.
But if you drive on the roads, in fact, if you try to go down Salmon Kill, they're doing some work on water mains there right now, too.
All right. Well, that is this week's edition. I thank you guys, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, that is this week in the Lakeville Journal. You'll, of course, find the Lakeville Journal online, tricornernews.com, and also on Facebook.